Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamah Zayin Aleph. We're on Ayinamud Beis. We are in the eighth parak of the Masechta. Yesterday we got the zchus, the pleasure of starting the eighth parak of the Masechta, and we're going to be just speaking about more about Cohen and his ability to eat truma, more specifically his inability to eat truma. So obviously Cohen has his zchus and the rights, the privileges, the responsibility of eating truma, but that's not true for every Cohen. Which Cohen cannot eat truma? So yesterday, so we cited four different Kohanim that cannot eat Truma for various causes. So the four cases of the Mishnah is an Aral, a Tameh, a Ptsuadaka, Krushavcha. That's not the only limitation, but if a Kohen is an Aral, so he did not get a Bris Milah, Rashi in the Mishnah said it's not his fault. In other words, he had brothers who died Machmas Milah. And the Halach is very clear. We learned it already a week ago in the Daf. That if you have two brothers who died machmas milah, so you are not getting a milah. In other words, your parents do not give you a milah, nor do you get a milah later in life if it's going to pose significant danger to your life. So you do not get a bris milah. So you are totally exempt from the mitzvah of milah. On the other hand, you can't eat truma. The prerequisite of eating truma is that you have to be malt, you have to have a bris milah, and so therefore you can't eat truma. Same thing was true as regarding a tameh. Kohen is a tameh, cannot eat truma. And Ptsuadaka Krushavcha. So if either the Beitzim or the actual Gid itself is injured, so then you cannot eat Truma. So right now our focus is going to be today on Arel. So an Arel cannot eat Truma, how do I know that? So as I mentioned yesterday, so this poses a challenge because read the Chumash, read last week's Parsha Semor, where there you're going to get most of the halachas regarding a Kohen and his right to eat Truma. And there's not going to be a word, not a word about an Aral not eating Truma. So how do I know that an Aral, a Kohen Aral, cannot eat Truma? So that's an endeavor. It's an endeavor that we started yesterday, and it's going to go well into today's daf. So we had a Brisa yesterday that brought down the Mishnah didn't say. The Mishnah just simply said an Aral is not eating Truma, a Kohen Aral is not eating Truma. So how do I know this? So yesterday we quoted a Brisa. The Brisa brought down two opinions, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. So today we're going to be focusing on Rabbi Eliezer for the beginning of Shir today, and that's going to go well into today's Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. And then the Gemara is going to, for a little bit, going to speak on the Shita Rabbi Akiva, and then afterwards we are going to touch on other issues regarding an Arel and a Kohen and Truma. But okay, anyway, that's just a quick preview of today's Daf. So let's begin. What did Rabbi Eliezer teach us? Why is it that a Kohen Arel cannot eat Truma? So he learns it out through Gzeirah Shavah. So we know that the Torah is very clear by Karm Pesach, that an Arel cannot eat Karm Pesach. Not only can an Arel not eat Karm Pesach, but let's say you have a child, a son, or let's say you have an Eved, Kanani, and they don't have a Bris Milah. You can't eat Karm Pesach. So a very serious requirement to eat Karm Pesach is that you have to have a Milah. You have to have a Milah, your children have to have a Milah, your sons have to have a Milah, and your Avadim have to have a Milah. So that the Torah says very clearly. The Torah's terminology over there by Karm Pesach is Tosha V'Sachir. We have over here by Truma, Tosha V'Sachir as well. So what we have now is a classic Zera Shava linking the two together. So just like by Karm Pesach and Arel cannot eat Karm Pesach, and that's Beferish in the Torah, so too the same thing is going to be true regarding Truma. Yesterday, what we worked on, the Gemara worked on, is establishing the strength of that Gzeirah Shavah. So this got on to the topic of Mufne Mitzarecha, Mufne Mishnei Tzadim. How strong does the Gzeirah Shavah have to be? Well, as strong as, it has to be as strong as we can make it. A double-sided Gzeirah Shavah, where both words are extra superfluous. So that's called a Gzeirah Shavah Mufne Mishnei Tzadim, and that's the best. And the Gemara says that we have it. Now, yesterday we pointed out that in order to get there to a Gzeirah Shavah that's Mufne Mishnei Tzadim, so we were a little bit creative. I mean, the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, was a little bit creative in making it because he took the word Toshav and Sachir in one location and he kind of took those two words and he spaced them out to the two sides of the Gzeirah Shavah. Okay. We don't have to go over that point. Okay. So, Ima Pesach. So we're picking it up right where we left off yesterday. So on Ayin Amud Beis, about eight lines from the top of the Amud. Ima Pesach Onin Asabo. Okay, so you know what happens once you open up the Gzeirah Shavah portal, and that is, so there are going to be a lot of halachas that are going to go through that portal, and specifically right now we're talking about an onen. So again, an onen on the Yom HaMisa, on the day of the death of one of your Zion Krovim, so you cannot eat Karban Pesach. Now, the Torah does not say that clearly by Karban Pesach, but it's true by all Karbanos. We know from a Kal Vachomer. I'm not going to go through the Kal Vachomer right now. Anyway, let's just, for points of brevity and simplicity, let's just simply say we know. It's established that an Onan cannot eat Karban Pesach. Well, an Onan can eat Karban Pesach, and I have Gzeira Shava opening the portal to Truma. So now, of course, we know what's going to happen. So Onan, as a halacha, should carry over as well. And an Onan cannot eat Truma. Now, that's not true, meaning an Onan can eat Truma. But why doesn't the Gzeira Shava carry it over? So, Av Truma Onan Aser Ba Amar Rav Yosef Bar Bechinan Amakra V'Cholzar. So we're going to have a counter drasha, counter pressure. And that is that in the Parshas Emor, so it says, V'chol zar. A zar cannot eat. So zar samar telach v'lo aninus. So a zar cannot eat truma, but an onain can eat. Okay, so in other words, a zar meaning, it sounds like what the Torah is saying is that this person can eat, but this person can eat. Admittedly, it's a derivative. It's an inference, but still. There's a counter pressure. The Gemara says, okay, but aim of a lower elus. So the Gemara says, hey, I got a great idea. In other words, the Tzar can't eat, but he can. Well, maybe he's referring to an Arel, meaning, how do I know it's a no name? So the Gemara says, Aksiv Tosha Vasachir. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I have my Gzeira Shava. And so now what we're going to do is a balancing act, which is what we do very often in the Gemara. In other words, we're balancing the fact that we have a Gzeira Shava telling us that there's a restriction. And then we also have the Pasuk V'chol Tzar telling us that there is a relaxation. So what do? Like we always do in halacha, and for that matter, we try to do this in life as well, and that is that we balance the two. So the Gemara says, okay, but now how do you balance? So umar ri'i. So we are learning that there's got to be a restriction, and the restriction is a reference to an arel. There is a relaxation, a heter, and that is going to be regarding onain. How do I know which one is the restriction? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, it makes more sense. Mistabra, it makes more sense, arelos. Havelei l'rebuye. Meaning, if anything's going to go through that Gzeira Shava, it's going to be an Arul that's going to go through that Gzeira Shava. Why is Arul going to go through the Gzeira Shava, not Onain? So the Gemara says, Shekain. And now the parentheses, what you're going to see is the key words to help you memorize, commit to memory, all the characteristics regarding an Arul. And we'll read it out. So, Mechusa Meiser, Meiser Begufo, Ve'onish Karsi, Eshlufnei Adibor, Umila Zechar Ve'avada Ma'akeves. So quickly, Mechusa Meiser. So when you're an Arul, so that requires an action point, meaning you need an action in order to rectify. Umaisa begufa, now the action point is on a part of your body. And oshkares, the person who does not receive a mila is subject to the kares penalty. Machlokas rishonim, classic, famous. Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, at what point exactly you're going to be chayv kares, but you're going to be chayv kares. And v'yeshon lifnei adibor, also the mitzvah was given before Matan Torah, Avram Avinu. Umila zechar v'avada ma'keves, and also, as we already pointed out, if you do not give a mila to your son or to your avadim, you cannot eat Karban Pesach. So in this regard, there are many characteristics regarding arelos. So arelos is going to go through the Gzeira Shava. So the Gemara says, Adrab, okay, the Gemara says, I hear you, but I can also send aninus through the Gzeira Shava. Why? Because it also has a number of characteristics. And that is, Havalei l'rebuye, shekein yesh l'bechol sha'a. As far as an onain is concerned, so it is the status of being an onain occurs all times. Meaning, unlike a bris mila, where you will have a status of arul, but not immediately. In other words, first there is a 7-day reprieve. It's only on the 8th day that there's an obligation to give a bris mila. Anyway, once you're an onain, you're an onain for a constant period of time. And v'noagis banashim v'nashim. On top of that, onain applies to both men and women. And v'yein b'yadol estakin es atzmon. And just the opposite. There's no way to rectify yourself, meaning the only thing to do for an onain is just simply wait until the day is over. It's a function of time. So hanach nefishin. So the Gemara says, okay, but if you rung up the score, so you looked at the scorecard, so you'll see that there are just simply more characteristics regarding arul as opposed to onain. So Rava Amar below Hanach Nefisha Nami Lamatzitz Amart. So Shavkinan Arelos Dechsibe Begufe De Pesach V'yafinan Aninos Mi Pesach De Pesach Gufe Mi Meiser Gamrinan. And Rava says, look, you don't even have to look at the scorecard. Meaning, I know that once the Gzeira Shava portal is opened up, I know we're going to send Arel through, but we're not going to send Onin through. Why? Rava's point is as follows, and I know I read it quickly, but Rava's point is as follows. Look. As far as the halach of Arul by Karban Pesach is concerned, it says it. Meaning, open up a chumash, read Parshas Bo, read the 12th parak, and you're going to see it says an Arul cannot eat it. It says it multiple times, an Arul cannot eat Karban Pesach. So, if I know I have the Gezeirah Shava portal open between Karban Pesach and Truma, and I'm going to send something through, I'll send something through that is explicitly written in the Parsha of Karban Pesach, unlike the Halach of Onen. Now again, it's correct in Onen Kani Karban Pesach, but it doesn't say so explicitly in the Parsha. So it's mistaber, it makes much more sense that the halacha that we're going to send through is a halacha that's explicitly written in the Parsha. Good. Ima Pesach Mila Zechar V'Avada Ma'keves, Av Truma Mila Zechar V'Avada Ma'keves. So once again, fine. So fine. So the point is taken, accepted, and Onain is not going to prevent a kohen from eating Truma. Got it. How about this? How about that just like by Karm Pesach, you know, you need a bris mila, and your kids and your avadim need a bris mila. Again, for you to eat Karm Pesach. Maybe the same thing should be true regarding Truma. Cohen's going to sit down and eat Truma. Ah, but one of his avadim doesn't have a bris mila. So maybe he should say to himself, ah, in other words, this halacha is learned from Karm Pesach. I know by Karm Pesach that would be a ma'akev. Here too by Truma, it's going to be a ma'akev as well. Why don't we say that? So amakra umal so az yochal bo. So once you do the mila, then you can eat it. Meaning once you do the mila to either your son or to your Eved Kanani, then you can eat Karm Pesach. What's the key word over here? The word is bo. Meaning, and that's specific to this scenario. Meaning, there's a comparable scenario where it's not going to apply. So mila zechar v'avada ma'keves bo, melachok Pesach, vein mila zechar v'avada ma'keves b'truma. Okay, so the bo is a miut. So once again, here we are, balancing more drushas. Meaning we do have the gzera shava opening the two, but we also have the bo, which is a limitation. So the Gemara says, yachi ema kol ara lo yochal bo, bo ina ochal ava ochal hu b'truma. So the Gemara says, okay, but how about this? How about kol ara lo yochal bo, an aral candy Karban Pesach? And what do you see? You see that same word bo, which is a restriction. The Gemara says, no. Haksiv tosha v'sachir. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's true. But again, we started with gzera shava. So what are you going to do? You're going to have a gzera shava and no halacha to send through the gzera shava? Omar Ra'is, the Gemara says, okay, so I know that the halacha of you being an arel, we're sending through the gzera shava to Truma. But the halacha of your sons and your avadim being mouthed, that we're not sending through. Omar Ra'isa, how'd you know that? How did you know to do that? So Mr. Abra, Arelis to Gufei, Havala the Rebuy, Shekain. Well, when it comes to Arelis to Gufei, it makes much more sense that that's going to go through the gzera shava. Why? And so here we go, review. Maisa begufa venushkar is it's an action you're doing on your body, and it's a kari's prohibition. Adar abba mila zchar v'avadav havalei l'ribuye. I don't know, the mila of your sons and your avadim, that should be sent through. Why shekein yeshna b'chol shah? Once again, that can occur at any point in time. And hanach nefishin, so the Gemara says, once again, they're just simply more halachas as it relates to you being an RL. And the Gemara also points out that even if we didn't have that, meaning even without the scorecard, because then consider, we would be, if in fact the only halacha we're sending through the Gzera Shava is the mila of your sons and your avadim, so then what a wacky conclusion. Meaning that the mila of your sons and your avadim, that's going to hold you back from eating truma. Your own mila, that's not going to hold you back. Mika midi. The Gemara says that is just illogical. It's an untenable position. Okay. We're going to breathe. Meaning, so what just happened now? So basically on the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, effectively what the Gemara has taught us is that how do I know that mila is ma'akev by truma? Gzeirah Shava to Karban Pesach. Again, this is all under the category of Shitas Rebbe Eliezer. So the Gzeirah Shava opens the portal between the Parsha of Truma and the Parsha of Karban Pesach, and the Gzeirah Shava is predicated in the words Tosha V'Sachir, and now we're sending halachas through from Karban Pesach to Parsha of Truma, and then the only thing the Gemara has been adjusting is, well, which halachas are going through, which halachas are not going through. Good. Okay. And effectively, there's really only one halacha that goes through, and that's an Aril. Aril is restricted from eating Karban Pesach. Aril is restricted, prohibited from eating Truma. Okay, that's it. And as far as other halachas are concerned, they do not go through. Aninus doesn't go through. Mila Zachar Vavodav doesn't go through. Okay, next. Hash Damart Bola Drashu Dasa. So the Gemara says, good. So what have I just learned? That when you see the word bow, it's a miut. It's an exclusion. So the Gemara says, once we know that, so Kol Benecha Lo Yochal Bo Lamali. Kol Benecha Lo Yochal Bo. If you are Benecha. Benecha over here means that you are off the reservation. You do not accept the fundamental principles and tenets of Yiddishkeit. You're right. You're not monotheistic and whatever basic hashkafas. So you're off the reservation. So you're not lati karm Pesach. Now what are we saying now? Bo, I'm sorry. So yochal bo lamali bo hamaras das posalos vein hamaras das posalos b'maiser. Oh, so the word bo over there tells me as follows. So when you have basic hashkafic corrupt viewpoints, so you can't eat karm Pesach, but you can eat maiser. Somebody invites you to eat meiser, and you are not a religious, but you're irreligious. In other words, you are fundamentally opposed to basic yadus. So you can be invited for dinner, even though the dinner is made up of meiser. It's karm Pesach that you're restricted from. I know that from the word bo. Kol ara lo yochal bo lamali bo ino ochal ava ochu b'matzah v'mara. And the Gemara points out, as additional to that, is that let's say you are again hashkafically off the derech, but in other words, someone invited you to their seder. Now I say your seder, by the way. Let's go back to where your seder was made up of the big three: the Karban Pesach, Matzah, Marah. So although you cannot eat Karban Pesach with your Hamaras Das, but you are allowed to, and presumably it's a mitzvah for you to eat Matzah, Marah. Okay, it's a strange split, admittedly. In other words, so you can't eat Karban Pesach because the Torah says, "Kol benecha lo yochal bo." But because it says the word bo, so you're not eating Karban Pesach, but you are welcomed, invited, allowed to eat from Matzah Marah. Okay? Much more to discuss over here, because generally speaking, when I have the three together, so Matzah Marah comes in accompaniment with Karban Pesach. And over here, how can I split the two? Sounds like from our Gemara. Right. It sounds like from our Gemara that they are divisible. Okay. Anyway, the itzrich lemichtav arav, itzrich lemichtav kol beinecha. And while we're on the topic, so by Karban Pesach, the Torah says it's that if you're an arel, physically uncircumcised, a beinechar, you are mentally out to lunch, so you cannot eat Karban Pesach. Why does it have to say both? The Gemara explains. Ikas rechman arav mishum damayis avav beinecha dolo mayis emelo. When it comes to an arel, so there's a certain mius. It's disgusting. Okay, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and what is and what isn't disgusting, but there is, you get the implication from numerous psukim, in fact, we'll quote a couple of them later this morning, that an arel is maus. And so therefore, I would have thought that with that mius, so you can't eat karm Pesach. But a benechar, it's not something you physically see, it's a state of mind. And if the Torah would have said only Ben Echar, okay, but he's not with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he does not have the basic amuna, so basic hashkafas. So there, I would have said, okay, so he's not with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't get to participate in Karban Pesach. But an Arel, especially if you hear like Rashi, like we said yesterday, where you're an Arel not because you wanted to be an Arel, but it was an anus. So libel shamai, meaning as far as your hashkafas are concerned, you're in a really good place. But it happens to be you're an arel. So I would have thought maybe for him there'd be an exception. So that's why the Torah has to mention both. So mimenu lamali lichadu rab am rav yitzchak. As far as the word mimenu, atochlu mimenu na, and another reference to menu. So the Gemara says that's going to teach us another drasha. And let's wait a couple of days, as Rashi points out over here, where the Gemara is going to go through the drashas inside. For whatever reason, the Gemara over here doesn't go through the drashas. Okay, wait and see. Amar. Okay, so where are we right now in the Gemara? So we have, for almost a full daf, spent time with Rabbi Eliezer. How do I know that a Kohen Arel cannot eat Truma? Torah doesn't say so. So approach number one, Rabbi Eliezer, Gzeira Shava. And what we've been doing now for almost a daf of Gemara is we've been bouncing back and forth in terms of how do we know the Gzeira Shava? Where's the Gzeira Shava being generated from? How come other halachas are being sent through the Gzeira Shava? Okay, good. Once we know that the word bo is an exclusion, what does this bo come to exclude? What does that bo come to exclude? Why does the Torah have to say ben nechar and an arrow by Karban Pesach? Okay, good. Now we go back to the Braisa, and now we're up to Rabbi Akiva. So in the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva told us, Ein utzarech, I don't need the Gzeira Shava. Why? Hari omer ish ish. So the ish, the double language, is coming to tell me that not only is a tummy nalati truma, that's what the pasuk's talking about, but ish, the second one's telling me, even an arel. And an arel is tummy equivalent. Okay, now again, the Torah doesn't say that, but that's Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara now is going to address Rabbi Akiva. And all I need to do is find my spot. Here we go. Amar. Ein Aleph, Amad Aleph, about 10 lines from the top of the Amad. So Rabbi Akiva, Amar Nesarach, Harei Omer, Yishish, L'Rabba, Sazara. Ve'ema, L'Rabba, Sazonein. Okay, so the word Ribu over here admittedly is a little confusing. Okay, so just so we get the language of the Gemara down really well, the word Ribu over here means literally to include, but include towards the prohibition. Okay, so how do I know that I'm including a RL? Maybe I'm including an O-name. So, and again, the word Ish-Ish is really non-specific. So I know it's coming to include another man, but who knows? Maybe it's an O-name. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chinen, and Amar Krav, V'chol Zar. Zar, Samartalach, V'lo Aninas. Okay, this should sound familiar because we did these types of Gemaras earlier this morning. And that is the word Zar. A czar can't eat truma, but somebody else can. And that somebody else is referenced to an onane. And aim of a law arelos. Again, here we go again for a second round today. How do I know it's an onane? Maybe it's an arel. Haksiv ish ish. So I have the word ish ish. Uma reisa. So once again, we're balancing, meaning the ish ish is coming to tell me that this additional kohen can't eat truma. The v'chol czar is telling me that this additional kohen can eat truma. So we got to balance. So there's a coin in, there's a coin out, and here we go. I'm going to read this quickly because this is going to be the second time we're doing this morning. So all the unique characteristics that you have by Aral. So forgive me, I'm not going to go through it again. We just went through it earlier this morning. All right, go back to the beginning of Shir and listen again. So Adrabba Aninos have a little rebuke can yeshna b'chol shav and oeges b'anashim b'nashim v'im b'yadol asakin atzmo. And again, the Gemara says there are unique characteristics regarding onen. Again, I will say to everyone, see above. So hanach nefishin. So the Gemara says, yeah, but scorecard. There's more characteristics by Aral than you have by onen. Rav Amar below hanach nefishin nami lo matzis Amar. And Rav says, even without scorecard, I still would say that the Aral is being included and the onen excluded. How? I'm a cry ish ish ezo davishesh no be ish veno be isha have yomer zu arelos because and again now we're not this is not a Xerishava discussion. This is a Rabbi Akiva ish ish discussion. So how do I know that ish is a reference to arel? Because the word ish is man. And where is an arel subject to? Obviously only a man, not a woman. Onain obviously can apply to a man or to a woman. Okay, now for Rabbi Akiva, I Toshav Asachir, my Avid Lay. So for Rabbi Akiva, good. So what are you doing with Toshav Asachir? Meaning Toshav Asachir is now eligible, open, and available for a drasha. So I'm Rav Shmai, Lasuya Arav Imal V'Givan Imal. So the Gemara's first suggestion is, well, maybe it's coming to include a Arav Imal V'Givan Imal. A non-Jew got circumcised. Okay, Arav and Givoni probably... the only reason why the Gemara mentioned these two nationalities is because typically they do get a bris mila, right? To this very day, Aravim get a bris mila. Givonim, right? They're no longer around, okay? As that nationality. Anyway, but a non-Jew got a bris mila. So the Gemara says, Vahani mulininu? So the Gemara says, wait one second. In other words, in order to even put them on the table, to take them off the table. So the Gemara says, they don't have a status of a gemalt, of somebody who has a mila. In fact, v'atanan. Let's take a look at the Mishnah in Nedarim. Konim shani nene la'arelim. So let's say the person makes a neder, restricting himself benefit from arelim. He uses the words arelim. That's it. I'm done with arelim. I'm not getting any benefit from any arel. Now, what did he mean? Did he mean literally people who are not circumcised? No, that's not what he meant. What he meant is non-Jews. So mutabarle Yisov Asurba Mule of the Kochavim. So included in his neder is going to be any non-Jew, even if he had a bris mila. Not included in his neder is any Jew, even if he didn't have a bris mila. So you see that when it comes to a non-Jew, even if they physically got a mila, halachically they're never put into the category of someone who has a bris mila. So konim shani isheni nela mula mutabar mule of the kochavim v'asubarle Yisov. And the opposite is also true as well. If he makes a neder that says he's not getting benefit from anyone who is circumcised, he meant Jews. Okay, this person has had it with Jews. Okay. And so it's a funny neder, but okay, that's his neder. Anyway, the point of the Mishnah is, is that when you use a word Arel, you mean non-Jews. And when you use the word Mulin, you mean Jews. Okay, and Tosus points out over here, the Baal Tosus over here says that even though, generally speaking, what do we say by Nedarim? Holech Acher Lashon B'nei Adam. Meaning, we just simply follow what's normal language and the normal meaning of language. So, and usually the Gemara says, and we can't establish halachic definitions based on nedarim, because by nedar we're only following Lashon B'nei Adam. So Tosfos points out, yes, that's normally true. Over here it happens to be that this definition of Arel Mulin follows Psukim in Navi. See the bottom Tosfos, he quotes a couple of Psukim in Navi. Anyway, the larger point of the Gemara is that when it comes to a non-Jew, even with a bris milah, he's not even in the discussion of being a someone who is gemal, someone who has a bris milah, meaning a halachic definition of someone having a bris milah. And so therefore, we're trying to figure out, what is Rabbi Akiva doing with the gzera shavatosha v'sachir? So we thought, well, it's coming to tell me that if I have a non-Jew who has a bris milah, he's excluded. I don't need a drasha for that. Meaning, even though physically has a bris milah, but that's not a bris milah. So the Gemara says, Ela lasui gershama velo tavo. V'kan shenola kishumo. So the Gemara says, okay, so what is it coming to include? So a ger who received a milah but did not receive a tefillah, and a katan who was born with a milah, right, happens, right, sometimes just no arla, and v'kasav etzarech la'atif mimeno dambris. And and of the position that you have to do a tafas dambris. Okay? So in other words, that's what the gzera shav is coming to do according to Rabbi Akiva. Now we bounce back to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, what about those halachas? The halacha of a baby born with a milah, and what do you do with the halacha of a ger who received a milah but didn't tov on the mikvah? Of Rabbi Eliezer, the time of damar ger shemav lo tavel ger mal yehu. Oh, so Rabbi Eliezer happens to be that in those categories he doesn't need a drasha. Why? A ger shemav lo tavel, according to Rabbi Eliezer. This is not the accepted halacha, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's considered a ger. And v'katzav v'katzav kishinola mal and tzarech latif b'menu dam bris. And Rabbi Eliezer also happens to be of the opinion that if you have a baby born without without an arla, does not require the hatafas dam bris. You don't have to extract any blood. Rabbi Eliezer, hi ish my avilei. And here we go, finishing up the entire thread of this gemara. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it says ish ish, which for Rabbi Akiva was the source of this halacha, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, the source is gzeir shava. What do you do with ish ish? Adam. So for that, Rabbi Eliezer will simply say, that's how the Torah speaks sometimes, right? There's no extra word in the Torah. Yeah, that's true, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Torah speaks in the manner in which people speak, and Ishish used to be a common way in people spoke, and Dibra Torah Kalashim Bnei Adam. Okay, Adkan. That is an entire daf of Gemara, starting yesterday in Ayin Amud Aleph, immediately after the Mishnah, to this very point over here. A simple question with not a simple answer. How do I know that a Kohen Arul cannot eat Truma? That's the question. And the answer is, Machlokus Tanayim, in terms of what the source is, either Rabbi Eliezer, Zereshava, or Rabbi Kiva, Ish Ish in the Parsha of Truma. And then the ensuing discussion of the Gemara, how does the Zereshava work according to Rabbi Eliezer? How did Rabbi Akiva know that Ish Ish is coming to include an Arel? Maybe it's coming to include an Onen. Okay, and the resulting Gemara's discussion on all of that. That was a daf of Gemara. We continue. Okay, not new topic, but let's reset. Okay, what do we know? We now know, we know already from the Mishnah, that a Kohen Arul cannot eat Truma. Okay, that's the halacha. That is, in other words, without the Gemara's discussion, that is a takeaway point from today's daf. Question. By Rami Chama Bar Okva. Katan aroma lesocho b'shemen shel truma. Okay, so a couple things in order to appreciate and understand the Gemara upcoming. Number one, what do you do with truma? You have to ingest the truma. You have to eat the truma. Sorry. And I don't mean to be difficult. You have to eat the truma. The Kohen's obligation is to eat the truma. However, what the Kohen can also do with the truma is rub the truma into your skin, right? And the Gemara in Yuma tells us that sticha kishtia, that when you rub it into your skin, so it's as if you're drinking it, okay? For those of you who were at Mincha Maariv yesterday, we had Rav Druk here in the shul. And so he said over a couple of stories of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. One of them had to do with rubbing oil in the skin. I know that sounds strange, but anyway, not now. At a later point in time, if you want the story, I'll repeat the story. But anyway, so you can rub it into your skin, and that's considered as if you're drinking it. The Gemara in Yuma spent some time with this because, obviously, one of the Inuyim on Yom Kippur is that you're not allowed to eat or drink, and you're also not allowed to rub oil into your skin. And the Gemara there discusses the rubbing oil is tantamount to drinking, right? Sicha kishtiya. Anyway, so that's what you do with the truma oil. You either eat the oil or you rub it into your skin. Good. That is point number one. Point number two. We are now talking about a cutten. But when we say the word cutten over here, we're talking about a newborn, like a real newborn, meaning from birth until day eight. So now, he's an arel. That's factual. He also does not yet have a mitzvah of milah. Question. Can we take oil, truma oil, and rub it into this baby kohen skin? Yes or no? What's on the table for discussion? So even though he's an arel, but he's an arel because he hasn't yet arrived at the mitzvah of milah, which is on day eight. What is going to be the status of this baby from birth until day eight? So, katan arel malso chabishem shachuma arel shelo bezmana ma'akva olo ma'akva arel shelo bezmana. So it is premature to give him a bris milah. Does he qualify as an arel or no? Does the status of Arel only begin once the mitzvah has begun? It's a pretty good question. The Gemara deliberates. Am Rabbi Zeratosh Mayin Le'ala Mila Zachar B'Shas Asiya V'Avada B'Shas Achila Minayin Litenas Amor Shel Zeh B'Zeh V'Samor Shel Zeh B'Zeh Tamalomer Az Azuk Zerushava. Okay, so here we have a drasha. Now, in order to appreciate the drasha, look at Rashi. Rashi writes Ein Li La'akib B'Pesach Alamid Zachar V'Shiyesh Lo B'Shas Asiya. Okay, so you have your sons, and you have your avadim. As we already established this morning, in order for you to successfully offer Karban Pesach, those two groups need a bris milah. You have a son, he needs a bris milah for you to bring and eat Karban Pesach. However, if you're reading the psukim carefully, so you'll note, as Rashi notes over here, is that as far as your sons are concerned, it only says it by the asiyah. That's the offering of the Karban Pesach. Rashi quotes, "Degabe milah zechar siv." The az yikrav la'asoso. Once your son has a milah, then you're a makriv. That's offering the Karban Pesach. Now, v'hainu shchita. Now, offering meaning specifically the point of shchita. V'gabi avadav ksiv az yochabo. Now, when the pasuk by your avadim, again, reading the pasukim carefully, that tells you that once your avadim have a bris milah, then you can eat Karban Pesach. So, there are two points. For your sons, shchita. For your avadim, achila. Now, da'afilo lo hava le'eved b'shas asiya, v'ayilo b'shas achila, ma'akva bo min achilas pischal. Now, what does that mean? Didn't you have an eved at the time of shchita? Not necessarily. Meaning, you can easily envision a scenario in which you shechted your Karban Pesach, that was sometime in the afternoon, and then after you shechted the Karban Pesach, you got a couple hours to go before Yontif. You know what? I'll buy myself an Eved Kanani. So fine. So you bought yourself an Eved Kanani in the interim. He doesn't have a bris milah. Okay. No problem. It is a problem. Meaning, as we're about to learn, even though the Torah talked about the Shas Shchita for your son and the Shas Achila for your Eved, they both become critical junctures for both. And that's what the Braisa taught us. Meaning, I read that quickly in the Braisa. I'm going to just go over that Braisa again. How do I know that both of these points become critical points for both parties, both your sons and your avadim? So, it says the word az in both. Az tochabo, az yakrivbo. So, since it says the word az in both, xerishava, meaning that they both become critical moments. Now, that means to say it like this. Bishlam avadav, mishkachala di'isnu b'shas achila v'lasnu b'shas asiya kagon, dizavninu b'ni b'ni. So we already made this point. Rashi made it, but the Gemara is making it now. And that is, I can easily envision a case where your Eved Kanani, you didn't own at the time we shechted the Karban Pesach, because that was in the afternoon. And by nighttime, when you're eating Karban Pesach, lo and behold, you have a new Eved Kanani. How? You bought him. You bought him later that afternoon. Good. So now I could see and envision a case where the Eved was not there during Shechita, but he was there during Achila. Okay, now, here's the trick. Can you do the same thing for your son? Can you have a son in which you did not have him at the time of Shechita, but you did have him at the time of Achila? We're talking about the mitzvah of Mila.
Oh, I
see. Mila. Yeah, so Ella. So what exactly is going to be the case where all of a sudden, lo and behold, there was your son, right, appearing from nowhere, not from nowhere, sorry, but just, you know, making his first appearance between Shechita and Achila. How did that come to be? So the Gemara says, the case must be, so lavdi yisrael benas yela Achila, mazel tov, after Shechita the Karban Pesach. So good news, your wife just gave birth.
And the neonate is going to be able to eat the Karban Pesach.
Again, it's not. We're not talking about him eating the Karban Pesach. We're talking about you're eating the Karban Pesach. Right, clicked. But in other words, but the prerequisite for you to eat Karban Pesach is your kids need a milah.
But he's not clear until.
That's exactly the Gemara's point. That's perfect. That's exactly the Gemara's point. What? Good. That's exactly the Gemara's point. So the Gemara now is deducing from here. That even though he's 8 days away from being eligible to get a milah, but in other words, but we're going to call him an aral. The Torah regards him as an aral. In other words, we have this drasha that even though you didn't have him b'shas asiyah, but you had him b'shas achila, but b'shas achila becomes a critical point. And so, how can it be that you didn't have him b'shas asiyah and you had him b'shas achila? So again, by the Avakanani. So you brought him in between, by the child. How did he materialize? He was born in between. But by virtue of the fact that he was born in between, it means that he has an oral status at birth. Okay. Huh? That's what we're deducing. Shmamina arelos shelo bizmana havi arelos. So good. So that is the Gemara's argument. Sounds like a really sound argument. What the Gemara is going to do? This is really the Gemara flexing on its creativity. What the Gemara is going to do is give us about a half dozen other suggestions of how could it be? How can it be? In other words, let's assume that it's not true. The neonate is not an RL, and he won't be an RL until day 8. So how can it now come to be that he wasn't an RL at when you shechted it, but he was now an RL when you offer the Karban Pesach? So can you come up with a case? So you could be creative. The Gemara is going to be creative. About 6 different cases. Right? I counted. Amar Rava. V'tizbara himolocho zachar amarachman v'az yakriv v'az yikrav lasoso v'hai lav bar mihilahu. So, right, Rava says it just doesn't make sense. Meaning, the Torah says, give him a mila and then offer the Karban Pesach. In other words, over here, if he's a neonate, if he was just born today, I can't give him a mila. Meaning, Rava just simply says, no, I reject the idea outright. You can't call a neonate an RL if there's not yet a mitzvah of mila. So Ella Hachabem Maiskin and Kagon. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's go over. What are numerous cases in which the baby wasn't an RL when you shechted, but was an RL when you sat down to eat the Karban Pesach? So here's number one, Kagon. Shechatzos Ochama. So number one, the baby was really sick on day 8. Okay? What's the halacha? The halacha is that for a very sick baby, so you postpone. How long do you postpone for? Yeah, you postpone for 8 days. Okay, in other words, the bris milah will be only 8 days later. Now, for a minor ailment, so you don't postpone for 8 days, right? And we all know this. Meaning the baby's a little bit jaundiced. So what happens is that, happened to me a bunch of times, right? Morning of, Mal's like, I'm not sure. Right, babies. Right, the Billy Rubin's a little too high. Okay, so what happens? However, game time decision. But there, that's a minor ailment. Over here, the Gemara describes what is called a chama. Okay, a high fever. Okay, baby had a really high fever. So there, so once the fever goes down, so then you still have to wait. And the Gemara is about to teach us. How long do you have to wait? 8 days. But not 8 days like Mila 8 days. 8 days meaning 24-hour periods. So good. So may Eisle. So now the Gemara is saying good. So that would be case number one. So Vinesav Le Kol Shiva. I'm skipping the parentheses. Diavina Le Kol Shiva. Okay, and what you did is you waited the requisite 7 days, and now Vinima La Mitzafra. The Gemara says, okay, but on the morning of day eight. So why didn't you give him a bris meal on the morning of day eight? So the Gemara says, Be'inan Me'eis Leis. The Gemara says, yeah, but over here, you need Me'eis Leis. V'hatini Luda. The Gemara says, yeah, but we have a brisa taught by a Tana by the name of Luda. Yom Avrasa Ki Yom Ivaldo. Meaning that the 8 day waiting after illness, after recovery from illness, is the same as like from birth. The Gemara says, my love, ma, yom hivaldo lo bina meisleis, af yom havrasa lo bina meisleis. Presumably, just like by the mitzvah bris from birth is not 24-hour wait 8 days, but rather on the 8th day, so maybe over here as well, on the 8th day from recovery. Lo adif yom havrasa mi yom hivaldo, di lo yom hivaldo lo bina meisleis, vi ilo yom havrasa bina meisleis. The Gemara just simply says that's just wrong. Meaning, yes, it's true, we made a comparison, only to get to the number 8. But there's still going to be a difference. By birth, so you are giving him a bris milah at the beginning of day 8. When it comes to recovery from illness, so you have to wait 8 full and complete days. So, example number 1, how could he be an RL in the afternoon, not in the morning? Answer, he was really sick. He was making a full recovery on afternoon 8 days prior. Now we have to wait 8 days, 8 24-hour cycles. It comes up in the afternoon, and it happens to be after you already shechted your Karm Pesach. Okay, good. That's example number one. Example number two. Rapapa Amar Kagon de Kaivle Einel Yunuka Vitpach Bene Bene. The baby had an eye ailment. Or in other words, it was a minor ailment, right? Like jaundice. And so, and when did the Moel decide that now it's safe? In the afternoon, after you shechted the Karm Pesach. Okay, that's example number two. Example number three. Rav Amar Kigon Shayu Avi V'im Ochavusha Beveisa Asurim. Mom and Dad were incarcerated. Okay, I don't know why we've been going over a number of cases of incarceration recently. Different context, but over here, so Mom and Dad were incarcerated, and so therefore they didn't have an opportunity to give the bris milah. Okay, and as far as so, how did they shech Karm Pesach? So Rashi says they sent the shliach to do Karm Pesach. Yeah, and good. I paused because I figured someone was going to think of my question as well. So why aren't they not obligated to send a shliach to do bris milah as well? And also, by the way, it's interesting. The Gemara says mom and dad, right? Mom is not obligated in bris milah. The Gemara Kedushin spells that out. Okay, so this answer I haven't fully wrapped my head around, but I get the basic idea, but I'm not fully there. That was. Okay, could be. All right. Anyway, yeah. But they could deputize somebody else to do the bris milah. In fact, we all do that, right? I'm sure you've noticed, right? So again, I don't fully understand it. Fine. That was number three. Number four. Rav Kahana Bered, Rav Nachman Amar Kagon Tumtum Shenik Rav Nimsa Zachar Beni Beni. Oh, another example would be where he's a tumtum. So there was a membrane over the area. And so we don't know, was he a boy, was he a girl, we don't know, simply the area was covered, and what happened is that the membrane tore open, and it happened to have been on the afternoon of Erev Pesach. So another scenario in which he was not an Aro at the time we shecht the Karm Pesach, and now he's an Aro at the time where you're sitting down to eat Karm Pesach. Rav Shravi Amar Kagon Shosi Rosh Chutz Pruzdar. Rav Shravi gives a fifth answer. This answer will be difficult to for us to really see, from a medical standpoint. Okay, I'm not right. I'll just say over the Gemara as it's presented, and that is that what happened was is that the head of the baby emerged outside of the mother, and then went back in. So we know that birth is established at the crowning, meaning that's a halacha. That's a very clear halacha. Birth is where the crowning breaches the and comes out. So the So over here, so you had the head emerge, and then the head went back in. So the Gemara says, and then it stayed in there for. I know this is very hard to just imagine, but that's fine. So and then the baby stayed inside and only emerged 8 days later, and only in the afternoon. Okay. So as I mentioned, in other words, a number of these answers are going to be creative. This is a very creative answer, but still within the creative answers, it has to be somewhat plausible. And even from the Gemara standpoint, it's just not plausible. So umi chayvat ve'atayim will not turn a brisa kem shi'asa la'avir olam niftach hasosam v'nistam ha'patuach shi'omalekein en yechol la'achios afilo sha'achas. Okay? And so we know what happens. It's the miracle of birth. And that is that orifices that were closed are open, and orifices that were open are closed. The umbilical cord closes, and the air passages open. And so, and without, in other words, and without that transition at birth, so the baby's not going to live. So basically, it bothers the Gemara now. How this example over here, it's creative, but it's just simply not tenable. Meaning the baby came out and it started breathing, and now it went back into the womb. In other words, it's going to suffocate. So the Gemara gives an answer, and I'm just not going to be able to explain it, as I don't understand. I don't see the natural world as they saw it, and they're obviously describing something, and I just simply don't have the words to articulate what they're describing. So the problem is not the Gemara, the problem is me. So halacha b'mayis kin k'gon d'zinta ishtei. So the Gemara says, well, what he was being supported by was a fever, meaning as he went back in utero, so the fever supported him. Somehow the fever sustained him. Again, I simply am not articulating well because I don't know what they're looking at right now.
The article says that the baby's head did not come all the way out. It just went in from the womb into the vaginal canal.
Okay.
But didn't actually come all
the
way out.
Fine.
Okay.
Fine.
So how do they see that? That's
okay, fine. So ishtaye daman. This fever belongs to whom? So, Elam Ishai Didei, are we talking about the baby's fever? Yachi Kol Shiva Bai. So the Gemara says, well, once a baby has a fever, so go back to what we said earlier. And that is that with a fever, you're going to have to wait an additional 7 days. Ela Dezante Ishtei Deime. So the Gemara says the mother had a fever, and it was the mother's fever that was nourishing and supporting him. Okay, again, I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm more than confident that they were obviously observing something, and I just don't know what they were looking at. And then the Gemara says something, which again is challenging, but again, challenging only to me, because I just simply don't know what they're describing. But somehow, if the baby is not screaming, so then that would be an issue. But once the baby starts screaming, so then the baby can in fact survive being in there for such a long time. Okay, again, not sure what I'm saying, but I'm confident that they knew what they were talking about. Okay, so that's it. We're going to pause over here, and tomorrow we pick it up with a relatively new topic. Not really, but relatively new topic. Yeah, okay. Anyway, let's quickly recap. Let's review. Most of our day today we spent on drushas, right? As per the question of a Kohen Ariel not eating truma, that's not a question, that's a statement. But may na hani mili, how do I know that? That's a question. And so for that, it's a machlokas hatanaim between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Eliezer learns it through a Gzereshava, Tosha Vesachir, mentioned both by Truma and by Karban Pesach. By Karban Pesach, an Arel is excluded from Karban Pesach, Seso explicitly. The Gzereshava now hyperlinks us to the Parsha of Truma and tells us also that a Kohen Arel cannot eat. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Kiva says, unnecessary? Ish, ish. The Torah uses a double language over there. Rabbi Kiva says, a double language in the Parsha of Truma comes to tell me that this Kohen and this Kohen are not allowed to eat truma, so the Torah references Tameh. But the double language comes to also indicate somebody else, which is, who's that somebody else? An Arel. And so and to make a longer Gemara, much shorter, so the Gemara wants to know, okay, according to both, we have problems. According to the Gzereshava approach, how do I know which halach is to allow through the link and which halach is not to allow through the link? The Gemara litigated that. And according to Rabbi Akiva, similar question. Once I have the ish-ish, how do I know that we're talking about a tamei? Maybe we're talking about an onen. Okay, and the Gemara litigated that as well. Good. And the second half of today's daf, so you have a neonate, a baby born. He is uncircumcised. Is he an RL? In other words, does he have the legal status and designation of being somebody who is an RL? Nafka mina would be, is that let's say you had a neonate and you couldn't give him a bris milah, and now you want to offer Karban Pesach. And the Torah says you can't offer Karban Pesach until your Zecharev, until your sons are circumcised. Is he considered now uncircumcised? Is he an Arel? Good question. Gemara thought it had an answer based on a Braisa. The Gemara said, because the Braisa is describing how you're having an Arel between Shechita and Achilas Karban Pesach. What's the case? Case must be he was born in between, and he's called an Arel. And the Gemara says that's not the case. A baby who has not yet have the mitzvah of Mila, meaning it's prior to day 8, he's not an Arel. The Gemara says that as a fact. What's the Braisa talking about? So we went through 5, right? I counted 5. We went through 5 different examples of how it could be that that you can have an Arel materialize between the Shechita of the Karban Pesach and the Achilas Karban Pesach.